You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network. Welcome to the Master Passive Income Show. My name's Dustin Heiner, and I'm here to help you get financial independence, retire early, and never work for somebody else again by investing in real estate. And in today's show, I'm super pumped to bring on a fantastic personal finance expert who has created a business that has pickleball courts, has sold it, made a lot of money, and now invests in real estate. And we talk all about it, showing you how to do it as well. All right, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Master Passive Income Podcast, where we talk about investing in real estate with a special focus on making enough money so you can quit your job and live the dream life. And now, here is your host, Dustin Heiner.
What's up? What's up? Super blessed as always to have you here with me on the show. Now, I am so excited about what's going on in the real estate market, in the economy, but I also want to touch on, I don't talk about this much, but I want to share with you that gold and silver is absolutely amazing, and it has skyrocketed in price, or value has just skyrocketed. Now, I've been sharing all this on my Instagram. The podcast here comes out once a week, but I've been putting out so much content on Instagram, over 240,000 followers now are there. Just so if you want to reach out to me and connect with me on Instagram, the Dustin Heiner, T-H-E, Dustin Heiner, look me up, you know, send me a DM. Let me know that you listen to the show. Let me know that you started investing. That's what I have it for, is just to help people. But I've been talking a lot about gold and silver. Well, the reason why I've been talking about gold and silver was I was buying gold and silver back when gold was $1,200 and silver was like $18 an ounce. In fact, in 2020, it was $18 an ounce for silver. And I even put out a video on YouTube. I said, hey, man, silver's going to take off. It took a couple of years. But now gold, I was buying it at $1,200 an ounce. Now it is $4,300 an ounce, and silver was $18 an ounce. Now it's $54 an ounce. Now, the reason why I bring this up is, now a lot of people are going to say they like Bitcoin, but I love tangible assets. That's why I brought it up. Tangible assets, real estate, gold, silver, water, like things that people absolutely need. And even guns and ammo, you have tangible things. The reason why I don't like Bitcoin is if the electricity goes out, nobody's going to know that you have Bitcoin to spend, let alone, can you spend it? No. Oh, I have an IOU of Bitcoin. No, you're not going to be able to do that. I personally love having tangible assets. And that's why we invest in real estate. We invest in real estate because those tangible assets are going to go up over time. The value is going to increase. We're going to make money every single month. And there are amazing reasons on top of everything I just shared, being tangible and all that sort of stuff, that you should be investing in real estate now and not waiting 20 years and saying, oh, its prices are too high. Interest rates are too high. No, you don't want to be thinking about that. In fact, I just put out recently an episode a couple weeks ago that was talking about where I shared, I want interest rates to go higher. I want interest rate to go higher because of many great things. Go back and listen to that episode. You'll find it easily, just a couple episodes ago. But I want to share with you that there are six ways that you make money when you invest in real estate. Now, this entire episode, I'm going to be talking with a personal finance expert, but I want to get you pumped up. Let me just walk you through. So if you bought one home that's worth $150,000, not the $600,000 homes, which is totally different, but if you bought a $150,000 home, which that's what we love buying, those types of $100,000 to $150,000 homes, over 30 years, and if you just had a 10% down payment, that's only $15,000, and you could borrow that money. I mean, $15,000 is not that hard. But if you bought one property at $150,000, over 30 years, that property is going to do so much for you. Number one, cash flow. The six ways you make money when you invest in real estate, first one is cash flow. Over 30 years, if you make a minimum of $500 a month, that's $180,000 in passive income over 30 years at the minimum. But rents over 30 years are going to go up and up and up. Eventually, it's going to be making, instead of $500 a month, you're going to be making $1,000 a month in profit and passive income. $1,500. I have properties making me $3,000 a month in passive income. So the bare minimum of cash flow over 30 years is $180,000, which is more than you bought the property for. Another one, equity capture. When you buy the property, you buy it for less than it's worth. That's $20,000 in your pocket. If you bought it for $130,000, but it's worth $150,000, then you pocketed $20,000. Forced appreciation. You put money into it. You've seen those flipping shows or those HGTV shows. You put in $5,000 and hopefully you're going to make it worth another $15,000 on top of that. So you pocket $15,000. Market appreciation. This one's amazing. You need to hear this. Every 15 years, and it's proven, you can go look at the graph. Every 15 years, real estate doubles in value. Market appreciation. So $150,000 home, if 15 years, it's doubled to now $300,000. Now that same $300,000 doubled again in 15 years. That's, remember, 30 years total. It doubles again. That's $600,000 that property is now worth. Now you subtract the $150,000 you bought it for. That's a market appreciation of $450,000 in 30 years. Isn't that amazing? And it's 100% true. Mortgage buy down too. Amazing thing is, even though you're making cash flow, your tenants are paying off the mortgage. Can you believe that? So you put $15,000 down, that's 10%. Well, you still owe $135,000 plus all the interest, plus taxes. But in the end, your tenants are paying all that. So their mortgage buy down, they're paying off $135,000. They're paying that off for you. Then another way, six ways to make money when investing in real estate is tax advantages. You pay almost no money in taxes because the tax code is written by the wealthy, by the rich. They write those to benefit them. We just need to take advantage of that because they're real estate investors. We become real estate investors. We take advantage of it just like they do. So you buy one home worth $150,000. You only spend $15,000 to buy this one property. That turns into, add it all up. I have my PowerPoint right in front of me so I can easily see it. You might forget all the numbers, but it adds up to a minimum of $800,000 in 30 years. Let me say that one more time. $15,000 if you bought one home right now at 10% down. In 30 years, the minimum you will make is $800,000. This is, I mean, it's ridiculous. That's just one property. What if you had 10 properties? 10 properties, that would be $8 million. 20 properties is $16 million. I have over 30 properties. I've got apartment complexes. You've heard me talk about those. I don't say that to brag. I say that to say, I just did this one property at a time. One property at a time. So if you bought one property now for $15,000 down payment at $150,000, that turns into $800,000. Oh, it's insane. Like, this is exactly what you do. And this is what I teach. And actually, I've been doing this 5-day challenge where I literally coach you for 5 days, where I even throw in a bonus day in there. So a little spoiler alert, I give you an extra bonus day of me coaching you how to do this for free. I want you to be a part of my free challenge. And I walk you through all this and I coach you every single step of the way, and it's free. So go ahead and join. Go to masterpassiveincome.com/challenge. /challenge, all one word, masterpassiveincome.com/challenge. And the link will be in the description. But you can join my free, literally free 5-day challenge, which is 5 days of me, an hour and a half of me every single day teaching you how to do this. I've shared with you many times that my goal is to help 1 million people to invest in real estate. Are you one of them? I want you to be thinking that 20 years from now, you're not wishing that you invested in real estate. I want you to be thinking 20 years from now, I'm so glad I invested in real estate. I'm so glad that I bought one home, turned that $15,000 into $800,000 after 30 years. You're gonna be thinking, I'm so glad I bought one. And then, just like all my students, honestly, all my students, and I think last week we had one of my students on sharing her experience. The second property comes within maybe 2 months. And you might be thinking, well, Dustin, I don't have the money. I don't have the cash. I don't have the credit. I don't have the time. I don't have the experience. Trust me, my students and myself, we've gotten through all that. In fact, it's not that hard. And we're going to walk you through that. And I'm going to show you exactly in that challenge. Go to masterpassiveincome.com/challenge. And you'll be able to join that challenge for free. I just want to help you out. And in today's episode, I am so pumped with the idea of businesses, of gold and silver, of real estate, of having a side hustle. In fact, the expert that I'm bringing on is a fantastic personal finance expert. In fact, he's so good at it that at 32 years old, he became a millionaire from before that, not even having any money to fill up his gas tank. He didn't have any money to do that. He realized, I need to make a change. He made a change, and now he's a personal finance expert. He has the podcast, Personal Finance Podcast. Amazing name, and teaches people how to do all this sort of stuff. So definitely need to check him out. But he's bought and sold real estate and businesses. He had a huge pickleball business where he had just had lots of locations. Anyways, this guy is amazing. I'm so pumped to share this episode with you. He drops so much knowledge. I'm super pumped to bring on one of my good friends, and he is of the Personal Finance Podcast. His name's Andrew Giancola. Let me jump into the show where we walk through all the things that he's done to help you to see that you can do it as well. Here we go. And I want to pause for a quick second and share that, honestly, I really want you to invest in real estate. Now, my new goal is to help 1 million people invest in real estate. So two things I would ask from you. Number one, if you get anything out of this episode, please share it with somebody else. Just say, hey, you know, check out Dustin at Master Passive Income. He really wants to help 1 million people to invest in real estate. That's number one. Number two, I want to get you to invest in real estate. Get my real estate investing course absolutely for free. Text the word rental, R-E-N-T-A-L, to 33777. Rental to 33777. I'll literally give you my course, show you how to find an area of the country to invest, how to build the business first. You know, I always talk about that. And how to find the right properties, how to make sure you're getting experts to do the work for you, and scale the business to where you're making $250 or more in passive income. Scale it up to quit your job. I'll literally get to you, or go to masterpassiveincome.com/free course. Obviously, it'll be in the description, but I really, really want you to invest in real estate, because the more that actual, normal, everyday people own real estate that are good landlords, the better everybody's life gets. I brought on a fantastic, fantastic expert. He has an amazing podcast called the Personal Finance Podcast, as well as he has a master money. You know, I love the term master. So we master passive income. He masters money. He helps people get their finances in control, but then also to invest as well as to get wealthy, which is amazing. And I want you guys to meet a good friend of mine. I've been on his podcast. He's now on mine, sharing with us about how he invests in real estate, how he's built businesses, sold businesses, and now helps lots of people do the exact same thing. I have Andrew Giancola on from the Personal Finance Show, Personal Finance Podcast. Thank you so much, Andrew. Good seeing you again, man.
Dustin, thank you so much for having me. I am super excited to be here.
Man, this is so cool. So we are podcasters. We love teaching people about money. When we first met, which was a couple of years ago, you were telling me about your business that you owned, as well as the real estate that you owned that was a part of the business. Now, since you've sold the business, but I just want to jump in, not necessarily in the real estate, but like, you're passionate about money or helping people with money or like every aspect of money. What got you started in that? Were you raised like poor? Were you raised with little to no money or lots of money?
I was raised pretty much lower middle class. So I was middle class, and my family kind of had, you know, just normal jobs. My mom was a teacher, and then my dad worked at, we actually owned a small grocery store in town, and then kind of grew up where we were just, you know, saving money, but they didn't really invest money. And so I wanted to learn, you know, early on how to invest my money. And so I started to read personal finance books as a teenager. I'm like the only teenager in history that started to do that. And so I would read things like The Millionaire Next Door. I would read Dave Ramsey's book, and I'd kind of go through all these different personal finance books and try to learn more. And all of a sudden, it ignited a passion for personal finance. And so I would be in the computer lab, like reading personal finance blogs. And this was like back in, you know, high school, like in 2007, 2008, where the blogs were like just getting kicked off. And I would spend my time just kind of obsessing about finance. And so as time went on, it was one of those things that I became really, really passionate about. And the more I learned about it, the more I unlocked how powerful it can be as a tool to unlock financial freedom for other people. And so my goal was to kind of help other people, because I hit a point in time when I started my first career where I really had to manage real money, and money was coming in, and I was making about $30,000 a year, which at that time was just an entry-level finance job. And so I was making that $30,000 per year. And after the first couple of months, I realized pretty quickly I was living paycheck to paycheck. And there was this moment where I went to a gas pump and I went to go fill up my gas tank, and I didn't have enough money to fill up my entire gas tank. And that was the point in time where a lot of people, you know, they'll say, okay, well, everything is out to get me. I don't know what I'm going to do. And instead, I tried to focus on the things that I can control. And so during that moment, when I could not fill up my gas tank, I actually got mad. I got really frustrated at myself. And I said, I'm going to figure this out. And I'm going to figure out a system that's going to allow me to get to a point in time where I want to be a millionaire and I want to have financial independence. That was my ultimate goal, was to have that financial freedom and financial independence. And so during that time frame, I started to read. I started to look into, you know, financial dependence and how it worked, and then started to grow my income because my income was my biggest problem. And so during that time, I started to do a bunch of different side hustles and a bunch of different things. One of my favorite ones that I did was I had a Christmas tree stand. So a side of the road, real Christmas trees, we'd have those imported in, and had a Christmas tree stand and started to increase my income that way. Then I learned how to negotiate my salary at my day job. And then the rest is history, where we grew our wealth over time frame, became a millionaire at 32, and then, you know, kind of grew it from there. So that's kind of the impetus and how I got started in personal finance. And my goal is to create a million millionaires. And that's what we're trying to do right now.
I love it. So I have a similar goal. My goal is to help 1 million people to invest in real estate. And hopefully they might become financially independent. At least that's hopefully the plan. Cause man, working a job, cause you're living just over broke when you're working for somebody else, and yeah, you're at the whim of your boss that could at any time fire you, lay you off or do whatever. And then you're just stuck. And I'm on your show, I shared how I got laid off, and having four kids at the time, I was like, I can't feed my family. What am I going to do? And it's so much better now, where I know I will never need a job again. I have four businesses that make me money. I make a lot more money than my expenses are. You know, like my expenses are very low compared. I think I save like 90% of what I make. Put it back into real estate, which is what hopefully everybody does. But I love that your now passion is now helping people, because when you have that pain point of like, I can't even fill up my car gas, then you have that pain point, then you find a way out of it. But then guys like us who are like, I guess, coaches or teachers at heart, where it's like, man, I just want to share this out to the world. So I love you have that same vision as helping a million people. Now, share with me, you have your podcast, which is the Personal Finance Podcast, which is amazing. Love the title. The title is very straightforward. Everybody should be listening to it. But what do you share on that show? Do you do a lot of interviews? Do you a lot of guests? Or do you teach things? What goes on in that show?
So what we do is we teach people how to build wealth on that show. A lot of the episodes are me doing solo episodes. Those are actually our most popular episodes, which is interesting. But then we also have added in interviews, and we do a couple of interviews every single month in various areas. So we'll do stuff from buying businesses to real estate, and we'll bring in experts on all these different areas. But our entire goal is to teach people how to get their finances right and how to build wealth through these different things. So we talk about personal finance, we talk about investing, and we talk about accelerating your wealth. And the wealth accelerators are things like real estate and buying those businesses.
That's great. And help me understand, because when we met a number of years ago in New Orleans, which was a lot of fun hanging out there, you were telling me that you owned, was it pickleball, wasn't it?
Yes.
So yeah, you owned a business that yep. also had real estate. And I was like, oh, I'd love to interview you, be on the show and share about this. But talk to me about that process. And now fast forward the story. Actually, I'll let you save it to the end, because you just did something recently, a month or so ago. But yeah, talk us through that process of having real estate, having a business and making money from it.
So we did two different things. So we had a real estate business where we were buying, single family houses and small multifamilies. And we could dive deeper into that if you want to, where I'll go through that whole process. Tons of funny stories of even how I got started and how that even operated. But then we also bought a pickleball facility. So when pickleball started to get hot a couple of years ago, we went and bought this pickleball facility, and it was in the back of this old warehouse.
Was it already functioning as a pickleball?
It was already functioning as a pickleball facility. And my dad was someone who was obsessed with pickleball. So he is retired now, but he was obsessed with pickleball. And he met the owner of this place. And he was trying to get me to play pickleball for years. And I was not interested. Once I started playing, super fun, and kind of got addicted for a couple of years. But he met the owner of this facility. And the owner mentioned to him, like, yeah, this is a lot of work, and I'm in over my head. And so he was telling me that information. And I said to him, okay, let's go talk to this guy, because I would love to see if he would be willing to sell the facility. And so we went and talked to him and started to have a conversation. And with this fully functioning facility, it was actually pretty profitable. This guy had figured out a formula to make it profitable. And so when we started that process, we ended up working out a deal where I could put a minimum amount down, and then he would seller finance the rest of the deal. And so because of my real estate background, I was able to kind of fund and figure out how to structure this deal in a way that was very similar to real estate. And so we bought this pickleball facility. And then over the course of the last 2 years, because we've only owned it for 2 years, we just sold it last month. That's the punchline there. But over the course of the last 2 years, we grew it from one facility over to six facilities across a few different states. And this was one of those things where it was a really, really quick thing. It was growing really quickly. And then we ended up selling it over the course of those 2 years.
How many facilities was it?
Six total. So we had two in Florida, two in Atlanta, Georgia, one in Savannah, and then one in Greenville, South Carolina.
Was that tough to manage all those properties?
It was extremely tough. So the biggest thing for me, and the one of the reasons why I wanted to sell overall was just because we're managing a ton of employees. So we ended up hiring, you know, employees for each of those facilities. And so you're ending up having, you know, 50 to 100 employees overall when you have all these facilities, because people are taking, you know, shorter shifts or they're part time. And so employee management was a big reason that I wanted to sell first. And then secondarily is just managing those schedules, because we were not a facility that would do it in a way where you had a membership. Instead, we would structure this in a way where our calendar was very, you know, very tight, and that would maximize the revenue. And our goal was to maximize the revenue as much as possible. And so it was one of those things where we figured out a formula that worked really, really well, and we maximized that revenue. But unfortunately, the formula that we figured out was the hard way to do it. And so, you know, the trade-off was, you know, higher revenue, but you got to do it the hard way.
The hard way. Now, was it that that was the, I guess, the platform, the business model that the seller had when you bought it from him, correct?
Exactly. So he kind of figured out this formula where, if you look at this, he figured out, hey, I can make a little bit more on structuring this in a way where it's not membership based. It's based on how much time someone spends in a facility. Because what he figured out was that pickleball players, they want to stay and play all day. They'll stay for 6 hours if you give them a membership, and you have a limited amount of courts, and you got to look at those courts. What I figured out was you got to look at those courts like real estate, where each specific court can have a specific amount of cash flow. And so when you look at this, if you structure the time frames where people can come, and you do it with leagues, or you do it with stuff like classes or open plays or tournaments where they're there for only a set amount of time instead of staying all day long, well, all of a sudden you're maximizing the revenue, because people want to keep playing indoors. Pickleball is just a really hot thing right now. And so when you can maximize the revenue in each of those facilities, that's the best way to do it. So you do, you know, pay to play basically is what you do.
That's, well, I mean, we think about golf. Golf, there's somebody usually, or a foursome will play about 4 hours, but it's not like they take the entire golf course for the entire 4 hours. They every 15, maybe 20 minutes, they just have another, you know, person or another group go, another group go. And so they can maximize that course the whole time. Every 15 minutes, another set of money coming in and paying. But if they're paying a membership, especially when it was taking off back in what, 2020, 21-ish, who were the people that were playing pickleball? Old retired people that don't have anything else to do. So they would stay there 6-8 hours. I could see that easily. But this is a much better way to make sure you're maximizing the cash flow, because then you say, hey, you're just like a bowling alley. Like, you can't just play 6 hours of bowling. You have to pay per hour of however you want to play. And then you, and so, man, that's a great idea. But at the same time, there's a lot of overhead, a lot of employees and stuff. Were you managing that as well as running the personal finance show or the podcast?
Yes. So I was managing that with, in addition to doing both. And so the interesting thing about that was it started to get so time intensive that I was spending like 40 hours on each one. And so it just became one of this thing where it became this huge behemoth of time that we had to spend. So, overall, it was just one of those things where I was happy to kind of move on and sell it, but it was a fantastic learning experience. And a lot of the learnings that I utilized in the pickleball facility, I learned from real estate from that first business, because real estate can translate to so many other businesses. And real estate investors really can utilize some of the lessons they learn in real estate to build other businesses. It's really, really cool.
I think everything, when you think about it, if it has money that translates back and forth, or, you know, changes hands, then it, you need to view it as a business. You need to view it as a way, how do I maximize my income? Like you're saying, my profits, how do I lower my expenses? How do I take care of my customers? Like, that, you have to do that. So I think that's a great point. And did you own all the facilities in a real estate as well, as separate from the business?
The real estate was separate. So we would lease the buildings, and then our real estate business was a separate business, but we would lease those buildings, and then we would, and then eventually what my goal was to go and start to buy some of those buildings, because what we would do is we would lease from specific people. And some of them were like, for example, they'd inherit these warehouses. And I think there's a huge opportunity in warehouses, by the way, after going through all this, but they would inherit these warehouses and they didn't really even know how to lease some of these properties. And so we would get these huge giant warehouses, and there's a lot of renovations that needed to be done to some of them, adding AC, adding things like the courts, the flooring, the lighting, all that kind of stuff. And if you can kind of figure that out, there's a lot of opportunity, I think, there within warehouses. So our ultimate goal, and we had conversations with some of these people before we sold the business, was that we wanted the first right of refusal over the course of the next 5 years to be able to buy those properties.
That's fantastic. Good for you, man. Wow, so cool. Now, you had smaller portfolio, or you had portfolio of real estate, yep, as opposed to the pickleball and the real estate there. Do you still have those properties, the single family homes and things that you were doing there?
No. So the original portfolio that we built up, I had it with some other business partners who were the cash partners. And eventually we had them for a couple of years and then sold the portfolio. And I could talk through why, but there was, but it was one of those things that I, every single day, I regret selling the portfolio because I wish I still had it.
I think every single real estate investor I've ever talked to who has ever sold any property ever always thinks back, man, I wish I would not have sold that property because now it's worth double or triple or however much it is. And just that's just the nature of honestly, like our fiat money system that we have. Yep. With inflation to interest rates, like everything, it's just real estate just keeps going up. That's why I love real estate, because just over time, the longer you hold it, the more money you make.
Exactly. And that's the cool thing, because really overall our goal was, and part of the reason why we sold it was because I had cash partners and I was the sweat equity partner. And so part of the reason why we ended up selling it was just because I thought, hey, I'm doing all the work. I can do this on my own, which is what my future plans are here now as after we sold the pickleball facilities. But I could do this on my own. And so I'm just going to do this and not have to share all the profit with these folks. And that was the initial goal. But I really wish I would have restructured in a way where I could buy the properties back from them and then do something that way and just held on to the properties long term, because they are all worth now four times the amount that what we paid for them.
Absolutely. So are you thinking about getting back into real estate now?
100%. And I think that's the thing where, you know, you and I talked, we had a coaching, basically a live coaching session on our podcast, and we went through some of the thought process that we had. And my goal is to acquire one to two properties every single year and try to build up a portfolio that way and just do the slow and steady, trying to find, you know, real cash flowing properties. That's my entire goal.
Yeah, man. If you have 10 properties that are just solid cash flow ones, in let's say C plus areas, you're going to have a great income coming in. And so obviously, if you want to listen to that episode, you could definitely, you know, you listening, check out his show, the Personal Finance Podcast, and check out, I think it's either by the time this airs, it's already aired. So you could probably find it pretty easily,
yep.
But we talked through it. But I, Andrew, so you mentioned that the commercial real estate, like the warehouse type things, there might be some opportunities there. Talk me through what you're seeing.
So what I'm seeing is there's a lot of warehouses out there that are distressed. And when I started to look for new properties for pickleball facilities, I would come across all these different warehouses that just not were up to par to what's happening in the market. And so you would see these properties that just had, for example, they'd just be like mechanics that have been in there forever, or they'd be, you know, different lawn companies that have been in there forever, and they have just destroyed the inside of these properties. And so there are opportunities out there where you can get a hold of some of these properties and have the ability to renovate them and then get a tenant in there. And once you have that tenant in that property, then you can either cash out, refinance, and or you can take those properties and sell them. And I am seeing people, there's one guy that I was just speaking to who is actually doing this now, because I went and tried to seek out, is anybody actually doing this? I found a guy who's doing it, and he is making like $1 million a property. So he gets a tenant in there and then he resells it on the market and basically flips these warehouses. Now, he buys them for like $500,000 to $600,000, and then he resells them for like $1.5 to $2 million each time. And it only takes him about 6 to 8 months from end to end, because a lot of these warehouses, it's not like you have a ton of things to renovate. Typically, they are a shell, and then you just have to clean it up. If you want to put AC in there, you want to put insulation, you can do that. If you want to redo the lighting and make it look nice, you can do that. Sometimes they'll have small offices with a bathroom in there, but there's not a ton of renovations that take a long time. And so once you get that process done, you can renovate these properties, and there are tons of people looking for warehouse space. And I think the opportunity for warehouse space is pretty large. I mean, we are in an economy now where, you know, space is one of the biggest things in commercial. When we look at data centers, even like really small data centers, you could do things like, you know, there's mechanics, you know, there's so many different things that you could do out there in warehouses. And so the opportunity is pretty large, whether you want to hold it for cash flow and or if you want to flip it and kind of have a system in place where you are renovating these properties.
When he goes and sell it, does he necessarily have to have a tenant in place?
He doesn't. But what he found was that there is a lot more value to investors if he has a tenant already in there, and especially if he increases the rent value and all that kind of stuff. Yep. But not, he doesn't have to every single time. So sometimes he will sell them as a renovated shell. And then from there, the whoever the new owner comes in, he can, you know, utilize it for their business, and or they can find a new tenant.
That's exciting. That's a neat business model, you know, because every asset class in real estate is attractive. Even mobile home parks, like those are fantastic. Storage facilities are fantastic. You could even take a warehouse and turn it into a storage facility if you really, really wanted to. You're like, man, I really see a lot of money. In fact, Seth Williams, a good friend of mine, RE Tipster, really great show. But he built his own self-storage facility. He's making good money on it. And self-storage, especially if there's ever going to be an economy change where it's like a recession, people sadly might lose their homes, but it's hard for them to get rid of stuff. So they store them in warehouses or storage facilities. But an asset class of having a warehouse, that's pretty, pretty attractive. Let me shift gears just a little bit, because I just mentioned something about like the economy and things going, if things start going in a direction of like recession or anything. Have you seen anything recently? Obviously, interest rates fluctuating. Now they're dropping down a little bit. Federal Reserve's doing whatever it does. But what are your thoughts about the economy in general for everybody, for everything in personal finance? But if you want to speak on real estate, if you see anything there too.
Absolutely. And specifically, like in my area, for example, where we have invested for a long time, I'm in Tampa, Florida. So in my area specifically, a lot of these values are really, really high. So it's hard to find cash flowing assets in this specific area. And like you and I talked about on our show, we were looking, you know, out of state is a great way to invest and find cash flowing properties. And so when I look around, a lot of times I will see a huge difference in even our listeners. So our listeners will send in stuff when it comes to like them trying to buy a house. And most of them are having a very hard time buying a house because either the sellers are not willing to budge on the price of the house, even though, you know, values are starting to come down and it is more of a buyer's market than it used to be. But sellers are still trying to stick to that same price. And they're holding these properties on market for a much longer period of time. And so right now there is an interesting shift where something's going to have to budge in some direction. And so it's going to be interesting to watch what's going to happen, because really affordability for most people who are trying to buy a house, I just looked at a chart this morning and I was reading through the article that affordability is finally, they have this chart that's all built out, is at an all-time low in terms of, you know, consumers going out and buying a house. And so there are opportunities, I think, when this kind of stuff happens, where if there is a shift or a downfall, they're either, you know, us as investors, we're going to be able to have a lot of opportunity to find tenants to rent our properties. But in addition, there's also just a lot of opportunities if there is a shift in a downturn where you can buy properties at a lower price. And that's kind of where we want to find cash flow. You and I are aligned on cash flow is a huge thing for us. And so trying to find those cash flowing properties is difficult in some locations, but you can still find them out of state.
You definitely can. And even like, honestly, in Tampa, more than likely, you're going to be able to find something. It's just a lot more work. It's a lot more work finding off market properties. I was just talking to a friend of mine and he buys and sells land. So raw land, buys and sells it. And he buys it for relatively inexpensive compared to the market value because it's land. You know, it's not like a house on it. People aren't. In fact, you said it right. I think sellers of real estate, they are the most nostalgic people ever. Like, oh man, 6 months ago, I probably could have got $600,000. I'm just going to keep it at that price because I think I could still get. Like, no, you can't. It's not going to go that way. But in general, it's just harder to find. And so what we do is direct mail. Like, let's say, yep, get a company that sends out mailers to certain addresses that you say, hey, I want, it has to have this criteria, that criteria. And you send, hey, if you're looking to sell, come reach out to me. And so it's just harder to find. Now, if there ever is a economy change where there's either a correction or if there's a crash, it's going to be so much easier then. Much, much easier, especially when people are hurting. Now, I've been a gold bug. Silver and gold bug for a long time. I love silver and gold. I love tangible assets like real estate. Real estate, guns and ammo, gold and silver, like things that, like Bitcoin, I'm not a big fan of, because what if electricity's gone? If electricity's gone, then you can't, nobody even knows that you have it. So it doesn't matter. Of course, there's going to be a lot of people are going to say, I love Bitcoin. That's great. That's good for you. I personally want to be able to feed my family. And if the electricity's out, right, That's just one last thing that I won't be able to do. But when I see gold skyrocketing, when I was buying it, it was back at like $1,200 an ounce. And then it went up to $1,600 to $1,800. So buy a little bit here and there. Just keep buying little by little. Just keep chipping away at it. And eventually I'll give it to my kids. Unless I have to spend it because, you know, let's say something bad happens, I have to spend it. But it's like, man, when my kids are my age, it's going to be maybe $40,000 an ounce. But anyways, I'm seeing gold skyrocketing. It's at almost $4,300 an ounce now. Silver, it was $18 an ounce when I was buying it. Now it's $53, almost $54 an ounce. So with you have our dollar has been inflated. Like you're great at personal finance. What do you see of people like? Are do people have money anymore? Like, what are your listeners seeing? Because I'm noticing that like so much inflation. I think people are not spending as much money as like there's not enough free money out there that they're not spending. But anyways, what are your thoughts about the economy as a whole?
We've seen a big shift in a lot of things over the course of the last couple of years. And one big one that we have seen, for example, is we have seen a huge rise in credit card debt in terms of the amount of consumers that have credit card debt because affordability is so low. And so when we look at that, we have this thing called Master Money Academy, where we have a lot of students in there who kind of work with me and we do coaching every single week. And in there, we're trying to work with some of those students that we see new students coming in and they'll have $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 in credit card debt that we're working through. And a lot of times I'll tell them, like, on the side, hey, if you have that much credit card debt, you don't need to be paying me. I'll just kind of try to help you through this process because it's one of those things that we're trying to get him out of that situation. And because that affordability is so low for a lot of people, we're seeing them struggling more and more and more. And so we're trying to teach them, the simple basic personal finance concepts, where if you can figure out how to get your money right, then you can be able to kind of pay down this debt. And a lot of people do have more margin than they think. They just don't know how to manage their money properly. And so we go through and try to help them through that process. And like you said, things like gold are rising because there is uncertainty in the economy. The reason why gold is rising so fast is people are uncertain what's going to happen in the future in the economy. And so a lot of people are buying gold and the prices of gold is rising. In fact, I just saw someone take a Rolex and it was a $40,000 Rolex, and it was more valuable to melt down that Rolex than to actually sell the Rolex as is. And so they melted it down and it was worth $60,000 worth of gold. I just saw this yesterday. And so that's how crazy the market is getting with some of these things. And so this shift is going to be a very interesting thing going forward. Now, I have been the type of person, like, for example, when I was buying real estate, even 5, 7 years ago, I thought the market was too high then, and it just has continued to go up. And so trying to predict what's going to happen in the future is very, very difficult. I see a lot of people like, Robert Kiyosaki, for example, will predict the market's going to crash every single month. But for us, what we try to do is focus on those things that we can control. We continue buying just like you do with gold and with real estate. And it is one of those things where if you continuously keep buying, then you're going to figure out at some point in time when there is a shift in a downturn, then you can focus your attention on, okay, there's a downturn coming or there's a downturn happening right now. I can buy these assets at a lower price. And I think that's one of the most powerful things to do is just keep buying and then continue to buy through those downturns. Don't get fear. Don't become fearful or anything like that. Continue with your investment plan because your investment plan, sticking to that, is the most important thing.
I like breaking it down like this because you said it 100% right. So for you listening, if you might be thinking, well, gold at $4,300 an ounce, how am I going to buy gold now? Or how do I know when it's a good price? Well, just think about this. If you go and everybody goes to the grocery store, everybody buys things, but let's just say you go to the grocery store and you're buying the same loaf of bread every single week for years, and you've seen the price go up. It's let's say $2 a loaf of bread, and then it's $2.25, and then it's $2.50. So you see the price going up. You're like, oh my goodness, it's getting more expensive, and it gets to $4. You're like, man, this is really expensive. $4. I remember when it's $2, but then there's a sale. It goes down to, okay, it's from $4 now, it's a sale, it's 250. Oh my goodness, it's 250 again. I'm gonna buy it now. I know it's a good deal. Just like you said, if you are constantly buying, you're gonna know when a good deal happens. Just like that loaf of bread. You're like, oh, it was $4. Now I know it's 250. I better buy it now. Same thing with real estate, same thing with gold and silver, same thing. You need to be accumulating it because nobody can ever time the market. Some people accidentally time the market and, oh, I bought it at the right time or sold it at the right time, whatever it might be. But nobody actually does it on purpose. It's just not possible unless they have some inside track. But what you do is you just continually buy over time. If you buy one house now, in 20 years, you're going to be glad that you bought it right now. Even though right now it might be like, oh, it's kind of tough, it's kind of pricey and all that sort of stuff. 20 years, you're gonna be, I'm so glad I did. And then the next year you buy another house. Or let's say you buy one piece or 1 ounce of gold or a half an ounce of gold or a quarter of an ounce. You're spending $1,000 to buy one little chunk of gold. In 30 years, you're gonna be happy that you did it. So just continually be doing this. And that's what we do is as investors, or as honestly people who are have the personal finance idea, how do we continually grow? It's just over time. over time, either interest or compounding or inflation, that you just need to start doing it now. So I'm glad that you said that. Now, with the idea of personal finance, like, again, I got to go back to the podcast. Love the personal finance podcast. Everybody, you need to be listening to his show. He also has the Master Money. Is it Academy or is it like a group coaching? How does that work out?
Yeah. So Master Money Academy is basically a place, it's a community where a bunch of people who are working on building wealth, they all come together and they're working on common goals. And then we coach them on a weekly basis through all their problems. We have this transformation system in there where it's 25 steps to go through to really start to build wealth. And real estate's one of those steps in there. And so that's what it is. It's a community of people who are working to become really, really wealthy.
I love it. It's just a passion, just like you, to help people. Because honestly, the more people that I help, the more people that I can reach. Even with social media, if I could reach more people and help more people, I see them looking at me as like, man, this person took his time to help me. It's such a fulfilling thing, being able to help another human being.
It is. It's truly life-changing. And the messages that we get are just absolutely incredible on a daily basis of just being able to help people and share this knowledge. When I first started, I remember just my mom and my wife would be the only two people that were listening to the show at the beginning. And it just started to grow organically because people were sharing it because they were getting value. And I was like, we're onto something here. There's something that is going to happen. And then the transformations that we have seen just over the course of the last few years have been absolutely amazing. So it is one of the most rewarding things you can ever do, honestly. If anybody has knowledge out there, if you have knowledge in real estate or investing or anything else, I encourage you to share it because it's so powerful when we share that knowledge, how rewarding it can be.
Well, what it used to be is everybody, and we were all taught this, you go to college, you go to a university, that's where you go to get knowledge. Well, with technology, with podcasting, with YouTube, everybody is an expert. You don't have to go to a university to get taught something. In fact, I've taught my kids that unless you're going to be an engineer, a doctor, or somebody that you need that advanced level education, don't go to college because you're going to be wasting your money. What you should do instead, like my boys, I'm encouraging them to, they already know how to remodel an entire bathroom. They've already done it at 13 and 14 years old. I taught them how to do it in our master bedroom, our bathroom, remodel the entire thing. I did all the work, but they were helping me every single step of the way. And then when we got done, I said, hey boys, there's our hallway bathroom. Go ahead and remodel it. And they're like, okay. And they remodel. I paid them. I bought them some airsoft guns and they loved it. But they were 13 to 14 years old. They did all the work. I just made sure the plumbing wasn't going to leak. But they did all that work. And I'm like, boys, my goodness, did you know instead of paying 60, 80, 100 grand to a college or university, you can go to a trade school? Or how much better is if you go to a company who is dying to get employees, the electrician, plumbers, you name it, like HVAC companies, they will pay you to come learn. Like, you don't even have to go pay somebody to learn. They will pay you to come learn. The reason why I bring that up is now it's shifted now. Instead of people thinking, I have to go to college, I have to go to university, they could find us, people who've done it before, who's not just read a book and then I'll just go teach. No, we've actually done this. You're a millionaire at 32 years old, you said?
At 32 is when I hit millionaire. Yep.
Yeah, 32 years old. And then now you're like, man, I can now help other people. So now it's translated or it's just transferred. Just like Airbnb. Airbnb took what the hotels had a monopoly on these short-term stays. Airbnb helped it so that everybody can do, or Uber, it was just taxis. And so just thinking that now idea, if somebody, you got to be listening to the personal finance podcast, listen to obviously my show, but like there's so many other experts who've already done this that are going to help you along the way. Now, Andrew, what else in the personal finance space? Like if you find any of your most downloaded shows or like what are people really dying to learn from you and the personal finance podcast?
Some of our most downloaded shows by far, we have a couple of different categories. So one is we talk through ways to build wealth by age. And so we kind of go through, hey, each decade has different life experiences that you're working through. Like in your 20s, you are just getting started. You should really be investing as much as you possibly can, especially if you're single, you don't have kids yet. There's a lot of things that you could be doing and spending a lot more time and energy kind of growing your wealth. In your 30s, you might be getting married or you have kids or whatever else. You're in the messy middle. Your time is very limited during that time frame. And so we talk through how to build wealth in those situations. In your 40s, you may have kids that are getting older and you're trying to prepare for college, but you're also trying to prepare for retirement and starting to build wealth that way. In your 50s, you're going to be prepping for retirement. How do you do that? And what are some of the things there? So those by age episodes are really big. We also talk about ways to earn extra income. We call them side hustles, but really what we want you to be doing is focusing on, if you're going to build a side hustle, build a side business that can turn into a full-time income. And so real estate's a great one, a great example of that. But some sort of side business that can turn into a full-time income is a big one. And then we talk about things like real estate, which are always very, very popular. And we go through our journey and kind of how we did that. And it is one of those things that I think is just the most fun to talk about.
So I want to dive into, just quickly, help me as a podcaster, as somebody trying to coach people. Are the titles of those shows that are really like in your 20s, in your 30s, is like how to get financial independence in your 20s, or what to do with your, or do you actually put that in the title? Because I'm thinking, oh, that's, I've never done that. How to get started investing in real estate in your 20s or something like that, like, or in your 30s. If you're 30 years old and do this, if you're 40 years old, I've never thought that's a great idea. But anyways, like, walk me through that process.
So the way that we think about it is we actually think about our podcast titles, and we did this very early on. We think about them as YouTube titles. So we almost want them to be one of those really clickable things that someone is actually interested in listening to. And then you got to bring the energy, obviously, once you have that as a clickable episode. And the way we think about those by age episodes is two ways. Just like you said, we'll do one like how to invest in real estate in your 20s, or we'll do a second option where it's how to invest in real estate by age. And we'll go through the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. And so those are some of our most popular episodes. People love by age episodes. And I think it's because they can kind of hear, okay, I have been there, or I am getting started in my journey and I am in my 30s right now. What should people be doing in their 20s? Oh, I've already done that. Okay, now I'm in my 30s. What should I be doing now? And then in the future, what should I be doing in my 40s and 50s? And so they're kind of thinking ahead as well. And so it's really, really helpful for a lot of people because they can see the differences by decade and how your lifestyle is going to shift. And so that's kind of how we structure those ones is in that way.
I'm looking at your shows right now. Great titles. I could definitely see where, because that's, I started in the blog space, you know, and when you write a blog, you want to at least have a good title and then somewhat a description, but then YouTube as well. And so you want to at least be thinking in the terms of SEO, search engine optimization, what Google and Apple are going to be able to, I kind of perceive what this is. Let's send it to a few people. And if they like it, then that's probably what it's going to go after. But then also you need to be thinking of like, if I have no clue about anything that I'm talking about right now, and if I were a listener, does this title grab me? If it doesn't, in fact, like I know ChatGPT has been big for a lot of people. Let me just have it give me a title. Well, it's usually just like two words and a colon and something else. In fact, we have seven other podcasts in our network, the Master Passive Income Network. And one of them was Starting Scared, colon, what to do if you're starting investing and you don't know what you're doing or something like that. And I said, well, I was talking to the host. Starting Scared. What if somebody is not scared at all? Are they going to listen to that episode? No, absolutely not. And at the same time, nobody searches, I'm scared of investing in real estate. How do I get? No, they don't do that. So you need to be thinking how a person's going to be perceiving. Like, what are the pain points? Like, I know my students' pain points is they don't have money, they don't have credit, and they don't know how to find properties. And they don't know how to run the business. So I try to go after those as ideas. And so a lot of most downloaded shows are how to finance and how to find properties. That's always the number one and number two. And it's because that's the biggest pain points.
And I think that is exactly right. I think the name of show. So anybody like wants to start a podcast, I think the name of the show should be plain. And it's very important to do that because I think that's the most searchable thing. If somebody wants to search for, you know, real estate or passive income, they're going to find your show because they put in passive income. And then the titles need to be exciting. They need to kind of create excitement for them to want to go through because you want to create a bingeable podcast. And what we've noticed is that people will come in and listen to our show. And I just had a guy tell me today, he listened to 100 episodes in 1 month just from going through and binging through it all. And I think that's the most powerful thing is if you can create connections and bingeable content, that's the ultimate goal, because then you're going to have a lifelong subscriber who is very interested in your content. Now, we did, by the way, when I was buying real estate, one of the things that we have three unique ways that we bought real estate, which I can talk about too if you're interested in that, if that's one of your topics that your listeners love, because we have some unique things that we did there.
Well, quickly, just high level, what were the three?
So first thing we did was I had a unique strategy where I actually would buy properties off the MLS and I would make 150 to 200 offers every single month. I went and got my real estate license and would buy them off the MLS. Number two is we would look for struggling landlords. So we buy the off-market properties from struggling landlords, which I have a lot of stories about those, because when you acquire those tenants, it's a tough deal. And then number three is we started to try to find big hedge funds with a lot of properties in the area, and we would try to buy properties off them. And we were successful with a couple of them, which was kind of fun.
Well, let's dive into that last one, at least a little bit. How do you find out that a property is owned by a hedge fund?
So what I did was I would look on the MLS and I would try to figure out who the actual owner was. They'd have these weird LLC names and I would try to go back and see, okay, who owns this actual property? And all of a sudden, like the first time I did this, I would do a big search and I would look at the LLC and all of a sudden I realized it was owned by Tricon Properties. And if you guys have ever heard of Tricon, they're a big hedge fund that owns tons of, you know, all across the country. So I would look and find out who their specific agent was. Then I would start to call those agents for each of those properties that they owned. And so when I called those agents, I found out that a lot of those agents actually worked with the hedge fund and sold a ton of their different properties. I said, do you have any other properties available? And they would send me these lists of properties that they had available that the hedge fund wanted to go out and sell. And typically what I figured out was that the hedge fund already had tenants in these properties and they were very good tenants. They're very good at screening tenants. And so you could acquire like single family houses from them, for example, with zero headaches whatsoever. Those tenants are already there. I had a few tenants that would stay for years and years. And when I would do that, I figured out that some of these houses were just kind of the weird ones that they wanted to sell. So they would want to sell ones like if there was a finished garage, for example, we found one that the third bedroom was actually a garage. And so there's just these weird examples of houses. And then you can negotiate with them. They're willing to negotiate because they want to get rid of some of these properties. And typically they've already renovated them. They've already made them rental ready and they are already, you know, up to par and up to their standards, but they just might have some quirk or something weird and that they just don't want to hold onto the property anymore. And so typically they'll still be cash flowing and they'll still have everything in place because they do all the work up front because they have an entire team working through that. And so it's actually a great way to find rental properties either on the MLS or get started on the MLS. And then you can find the rest of the properties they have off market that they're about to list.
That's fantastic. And what I always encourage my students is a lot of students, they say, well, I've got six realtors sending me deals. I think that's not going to work. We don't want just random realtors. Just call up any realtor and have them send you a deal. No, we don't do that. In fact, the best way to do it, I found, is you find a property that you like, and then you call up the seller's realtor. Call them up directly, and then just start a conversation because they might have more properties that they are looking to sell or that they're the seller's realtor. But then at the same time, you could buy through them and they're much more excited to sell to you because now they're getting double commission and they know it's going to sell. But what I love is that you're being more active rather than just, you know, let's just go on Zillow and just here's a property and let me just talk to any realtor and have them put it. No. You want to be more active as a real estate investor. Does that translate, like the idea of being active, does that translate into like being in your personal finance podcast you have that you share with people about everything from business buying to real estate and all that sort of stuff? Does that translate into all areas of personal finance?
100%. And I think being active and making sure that you are active within your finances, whether it is, you know, in the stock market or whether it is in just building your emergency fund or just looking at where your expenses and where your money is going, you have to be active and kind of looking at what's going on. And a huge thing is, like, especially if you want to increase your income, if you're working a job right now and you're listening to this podcast, you're like, I want to get out of this job. Well, one thing you can do is learn how to increase your income. And the way that you do that is be active by networking and ensure that you are playing the corporate politics game that we all hate and kind of doing those types of things so that you can increase your income, grow the gap between your income and expenses, and take that gap and invest it in real estate or gold or index funds or whatever else you are interested in. That is going to be one of the most powerful things that you can do. And so staying active is a life lesson that truly will take you very, very far in life if you actually do it.
Absolutely. What are your thoughts about the term FIRE, financial independence, retire early? I'll give you one quick thought of what I think about it. I think it's not a good, it's not good at all because it's a race to the bottom, which means how do I cut everything out of my life so that I have so little expenses? Like there's only so much you can cut in life. Like you still have to have food. You still have to have water, have shelter. There's only so much you can cut, but the ceiling for income is infinite. You can continually make more. So it just makes sense. Let's just make more money. But anyways, what are your thoughts about the whole FIRE movement?
So when I was in my early 20s and I started my journey and I told you I didn't have enough money to even fill up my gas tank, I came across this guy called Mr. Money Mustache. And if you've ever heard of him,
I've heard of him.
The blogging sphere, and I started to read his stuff and I was like, man, this is amazing. This guy retired at 30. He bikes around everywhere. I told my wife, I'm going to start biking to work and doing all this stuff. And I became very frugal in my 20s. And all of a sudden, pretty quickly realized, I absolutely hate this. I do not want to be this frugal anymore. I don't want to cut everything out and kind of do all this stuff. And so instead, I changed my mindset. And I agree with you 100%, where cutting back your expenses, you can only cut back so far. And most people who are living paycheck to paycheck, they can't cut back really anymore. And so instead, what you have to do is you have to focus your time and energy on growing your income. That is the number one thing that will absolutely change your financial life if you can grow your income. Now, you need to know how to manage that income once you grow it. But once you grow your income, the possibilities are endless. And once I started to shift my mindset from cutting back to focusing on growing that income, my entire life changed. Where I was making $30,000 per year, and then in a year and a half, I ended up having my first 100K invested. Then I started to invest even more and started to grow my wealth. I hit that millionaire status, like I said, by 32. And that's because I grew my income. That was the entire thing that helped accelerate that path. And so I want people to spend more on things they love. I want them to be able to take all the vacations they want to take. I want them to be able to spend as much time as they want with their families and buy all the things you want. If you want to buy, you know, a $500 pickleball paddle, go, more power to you. I want you to do that. But overall, you need to be able to grow your income and learn how to manage that money. And as long as you're hitting your retirement goals, there is nothing wrong with spending more money.
Absolutely. 100% agree. Man, Andrew, I know you and I can keep chatting forever. And we did talk on your podcast. So everybody go listen to his podcast as well, the Personal Finance Show. But how can other people reach out to you? I mean, how can they find you on the Master Money Academy that they have? But I want people to be able to connect with you.
Absolutely. So we have a bunch of ways you can connect with us. Obviously, the podcast is one. We're on all socials. We are at Master Money Co. C-O. And then we have a newsletter too, if you want to read that. So we have a newsletter. We just talked about gold last week, actually, but it's called the Master Money Newsletter, which is Master. If you go to mastermoney.co/newsletter, you can find that there. And we talk about everything from real estate to personal finance to investing and everything else in between. And then we have Master Money Academy. So it's mastermoney.co/join. And you can look at Master Money Academy there. That is where we help people. And I coach people live every single week in the academy. And we help people transform their finances to become millionaires. So that is a bunch of different things that we are doing right now. And we have a ton of really, really cool transformations that are happening.
How about any social media? Are you on social media if anybody wants to reach out to you?
Yes, we are on Instagram, TikTok. We're basically across everything. So we are at Master Money Co. is our handle on everything.
Awesome. Andrew, good hanging out with you again. And hopefully when I get down to, I'm probably, at least this winter time, probably going to be driving down to New Orleans, take the family down there, eat a bunch of great food. But then we also have friends near Orlando, I think. But anyways, it might be down to Florida. Hopefully I'll be able to connect with you, maybe play some pickleball or something.
Absolutely. I would love to. That'd be amazing.
Awesome, buddy. Good having you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
And that is it for today. Go ahead and get my free real estate investing course. Text the word rental to 33777, R-E-N-T-A-L to 33777. You can also join my Real Estate Wealth Builders group coaching. Get all my courses. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next show. See ya.